Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
The world's preeminent talk radio portal.
All about your health.
And now here's Melanie Cole, MS, host of Staying Well.
Well, is your pet obese? Have you noticed or has your vet told you that your pet is carrying a few extra pounds? You know, with the obesity epidemic going on in this country, it would be no surprise that our pets would be going through the same thing. And my guest is America's pet advocate and author, Dr. Ernie Ward. Welcome to the show, Dr. Ward. Pets, are they going through the same situation as the children and adults in this country right now?
Absolutely. And in fact, I mean, we're creating this entire epidemic of obesity. And as adults, you know, we have to be better, you know, caretakers of the health of those that depend on us. And of course, as you mentioned, this is childhood obesity, and now our pets are suffering from the same fate.
And that's a shame because they can't help it. And they only, it's like kids in a way, they have to eat what we feed them, you know, unless they're getting into the garbage or something. So,
Absolutely. I mean, this is a people problem first and foremost. Now, there are some neurochemical or brain chemistry changes that occur when we overfeed our pets, but the entire problem rests on the shoulders of pet parents.
It does. And I know this as I've always been a pet parent and my mother bred and showed collies and I've always had dogs. And so I see what it is. Now, do you think it's the combination lack of exercise? People are too busy to take their dogs for a walk. They let them out in the backyard. And or the food, or do you think it mainly lies in the food that we're feeding? Is the food fattening, full of fillers, like our food is?
Well, I think that's a great point and a good question, and one we've studied, you know, exhaustively for the past dozen or so years at the Association for Pet Obesity Prevention. And we really find it's a combination of all of those factors. Certainly, we're exercising less, both ourselves and our pets. We're feeding more. But more importantly, as you mentioned, the foods today, the dog and cat foods, are more calorically dense than they were 20, 30, 50 years ago. And, of course, this is a byproduct of how we process pet food. So, again, many pet foods are made through an extrusion process, which just means they're superheated into these little kibbles that are convenient to pour out of a bag. Well, when you do that, you can cram a lot of calories into a little bit of space, and, of course, that leads to overfeeding if you're not careful. And so, you know, I tell people, look, it's a multifactorial problem. I mean, we're as responsible as pet food manufacturers and, of course, you know, our lifestyle. So we've got to address this on all accounts. And what I would say right now is start the conversation with your veterinarian.
Okay, so looking at the food, as you say, it's calorie dense. We see a lot of fat cats sitting around, you know, doggies that are carrying those extra pounds. What do we do? Is there food that you can recommend that we should be feeding our dogs and our cats? And how do we know that they're overweight? I mean, obviously we can see, but if they're
right,
just carrying a few extra.
Yeah, I started describing what I called the fat pet gap over 10 years ago. And basically we have normalized as a society obesity in our pets. That is, we look at a 100-pound Labrador and we make the excuse, oh, he's just big boned. We take a little 25-pound poodle and we say, well, she's just a little extra fluffy. And when we normalize fat, that means the first challenge of your veterinarian is to convince you there's a problem. I can tell you most of the pet parents I see on a daily basis will absolutely fight me tooth and nail and deny that there's a problem. Oh, doc, you should have seen his mom. She was big just like he is. Well, we make up all these excuses, and that just is one more barrier to treatment. So I would say, first of all, to listeners today, make sure that if your vet says there's a problem, take it seriously. There's really no reason for them to say this to you unless they feel they're going to help. Second thing is you want to have your veterinarian assess your pet's current condition. And we do this through a system of measurements called the body condition score. So BCS, your vet will tell you, and they'll categorize your pet. Does it need to lose 5 pounds or 25 pounds? And, of course, your vet will calculate the number of calories and give you a specific diet recommendation. And just like in people, there is not one diet fits all. I mean, based on your pet's age and lifestyle, even gender, I'm going to recommend a slightly different nutrient profile. But if you're listening today and your vet isn't having these conversations with you about nutrition, if they aren't concerned about the weight of your pet, I will say you need to find another veterinarian, because this is simply the most important thing pet owners do on a daily basis to impact their pet's health and longevity. So if you want your pet to be healthy and live a long life, then you better take seriously what you're feeding it.
So we definitely have to, first of all, foods, people food or no. even if it's like healthy, because I've been told, raw chicken, that's the best food for your dog, or, you know, that's what they used to eat. People food or no?
Well, first and foremost, there's a myth that there's something called people food. There are foods, okay? There are healthy foods and less healthy foods. So dogs and cats eat the same foods we do. I think, you know, this is something that marketing has created to say, don't feed your pet people foods, because what we all should be eating are healthier foods. When it comes to different sources, of course, you know, I'd say that most people feed, at least in my practice, something that we've been advocating for the past 15 years, and that's called the hybrid menu. You cook for your pet two or three times a week whenever you're able to and you have time, maybe it's the weekend, and then you feed the best commercial diet you can for those nights and evenings when you're too busy or too tired. But I think if you can make it a mixture of good, wholesome, real foods with commercial products when you have to, that's the best solution for most pet parents. And if you think about it, this is probably how you eat as well, Melanie. I mean, there are certain times when you have to get takeout. There are certain times when you have to stop off and you want to go out to a restaurant. And then there are other times when you have the opportunity to fix yourself a really robust, healthful meal. So, you know, do the same thing for your pet.
Without seasonings, we can feed them meat. What about eggs, scrambled eggs, raw eggs? We can do, as you say, all of those kinds of things as long as they're healthy, whole foods, right? Not over-seasoned. And then a good quality pet food.
Absolutely. Yeah, and eggs are one of the best protein sources for dogs, cats, and people. And, of course, I do prefer them cooked.
Yeah, my dog loves scrambled eggs, and, you know, if we just make them when they're not feeling well or something like that, then you always know it's kind of a little bit of a comfort food for them, some little bit of warm scrambled eggs. Now, what about making the dog food more palatable? Dogs don't always like some food, you know, so people put broth on it, they put little bits of chicken in there. Do you agree? It's kind of like hiding other foods to make them eat the other food.
Exactly. And that's what you're calling, we would say this, dressing up the junk. And so, you know, if you're having to add broth and whole chicken or whatever it is to a commercially prepared diet because your dog or cat doesn't like it, that tells you a lot. So remember that these commercial foods are made to be highly palatable. So if there's an issue with your pet, you need to find a different diet for sure. So I'm not a big fan of adding extra calories to anything. I want us to kind of be mindful of what we're feeding our pets, just like we should be mindful of what we're putting in our mouth. So, you know, if you're just adding stuff on top of it to get them to eat something underneath it, you should first question why.
Canned food, dry food.
Canned food is king when it comes to losing weight. And that's really two reasons. Number one, due to this processing and manufacturing of pet foods, you can add more protein to canned foods. You can get more omega-3 fatty acids. I mean, all those healthy things that we really want out of our pet food, you can get it in a canned food. The other thing is portion control. So remember that if you're feeding out of a bag, a cup of food or whatever a day, you've got to be precise in your measurements. In 2006, we conducted a survey of the top most popular cat and small dog foods sold in America. We wanted to find out, what if the pet owner fed a little bit more, a little bit less than they should be? How much would that impact the weight? We found some startling results. We found that if you feed a small dog or a cat as few as 10 kibbles, extra a day, that's 10 of those tiny morsels of food extra a day, they gained a pound in a year.
Wow.
So you can see how precise you have to be with your measurements. The can takes that out. Now, obviously, not everybody likes canned food, so I just tell people, look, let's get a good measuring cup, let's talk to our veterinarian about how many calories we should be feeding, and let's stick to it.
10 seconds, Dr. Ward, best advice for our pet obesity.
Make sure that you know how much you should be feeding your pet today. Too few people feed their pet a set amount. They just guess it and they fill up the bowl when it's empty. Big mistake.
Great advice. So you know what, listeners, we have to keep our pets as healthy as we're trying to keep ourselves. And if you feel like your pet is a little bit obese, take them into the vet. And if your vet tells you your pet is, don't deny it. Don't say, well, it's just big boned. Listen to your vet. So this is what it's about, healthy pets, right here on Radio MD. Hey, we talk about it all. This is Melanie Cole. Stay well.